Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
So Peter King isn't that blown away by the Emmanuel Sanders move. I'm surprised that he thinks they gave up an awful lot. I think they gave up a reasonable amount, especially with a pick returning. If they weren't getting a pick back, I'd be a little bit, all right, that feels like a lot. But
agreed. And I'm also surprised he said he'd rather have Mohamed Sanu. Because I talked about this yesterday. He's never been as good as Emmanuel Sanders at any point in his career, and he's not much younger.
I just think it's familiarity maybe with the Kyle Shanahan offense. Familiarity with offense. Steve Kerr has plenty of that. We're very happy to welcome in, because it's officially basketball season. It starts with a couple of games tonight. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Coach, welcome. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, good to have you on again. How you doing? Are you ready to get going this week?
Ready to roll. Good to hear from you guys. How's everything there?
Fantastic. Why isn't Steph Curry a Hall of Famer? Come on.
Apparently, Michael has his own version of the Hall of Fame, I guess. That's all I can think of.
Are you like the Dean Smith of Steph Curry? Like, only you can keep him under 35 points a night?
I think I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm the only guy who can do that. Yeah, that was an interesting comment. I just saw it this morning, and I didn't see the context. I read about it. But yeah, my feeling is Michael probably kind of has his own qualifications. We all know, you know, Steph would go into the Hall of Fame right now if he were eligible. But Michael has a different set of standards. I know he had a different set of standards for us as his teammates, and he probably has the same thing for his own personal Hall of Fame.
I'll say this, Steve, and you can defuse any agita this is creating in your own locker room. There was definitely a twinkle in Michael's eye when he said this.
Okay, well, I didn't quite hear it, but I'll take your word for it.
It was pretty clearly a joke, and technically he's right. Curry is not yet
That's
a
right.
Hall of Famer.
He's not eligible yet.
Yeah,
we're all on the same page here, I think. Michael included.
They asked him about who he wanted to form his perfect five-man group with. And he picked four Hall of Famers.
Yeah, besides me, who are the other three?
It was you,
B.J. Armstrong, Luke Longley.
Judd Bushler?
Yeah,
John
definitely.
Konkak.
Yeah, definitely
John
Judd.
Konkak.
And Jerry Krause was the general manager.
Perfect.
On to the other quote news of the day. You didn't really come out and say anything earth-shattering about Klay Thompson's availability because you just did the math and said he had the operation in July, 9 months is April, figure it out. But no one had said before he's unlikely to play this year. Whose fault is that? Is that ours for perceiving things that never happened or Klay's, let's just say? Why isn't Healy faster?
Well, yeah, exactly. I think it's you know, first of all, it's my fault for saying that yesterday, because our position as an organization was, you know, let's not even discuss this, and we'll reevaluate at the All-Star break. And you know, the problem for me was, like, you know, I kept hearing, well, after Klay comes back at the All-Star break. Like, no, we're going to reevaluate at the All-Star break. And I think I was a little frustrated by that and probably let go with a comment that, you know, caused some waves that maybe I should have anticipated but didn't. But as you said, I really didn't say anything earth-shattering. He had an ACL. His surgery was July 2nd, I think. And, you know, 9 months later is April 2nd. And we all know, you know, ACLs take a long time to heal. So I was just kind of, you know, saying what was on my mind, but we will see. We'll see how it all goes.
There you go, saying stuff on your mind again. When are you going to learn?
I know, my fault.
It's going to get you in trouble every single time.
That said, I only want to ask this one question about his health, which is he a good patient, or is he somebody that you guys are going to have to tie down and sort of make him adhere to sensible medical practices?
Now, Clay has, I've talked to him several times. Bob and Rick and I have had several meetings with him, and he said he's done his own research on players in the NBA dealing with ACLs. He's well aware that, it's a lengthy recovery and you have to be patient. The good thing is he's out on the floor shooting now, and he's able to do more. I imagine it's going to get more and more difficult for him as he goes, and he's able to do more and more. And, he's going to feel really good here in a couple of months, and he's probably going to feel like he can play. And that's when it'll get the most difficult. But, we have to give him enough time to heal, and that'll be up to the medical staff and the training staff, and then we'll go from there.
I don't know how much you knew about Marquese Chris before he showed up at training camp for you guys, but obviously still a really young kid, hasn't had a ton of opportunity, and kind of washed out of a couple places. How surprised are you by what he's given you, and what about what he's done on the floor has impressed you the most?
Yeah, when I saw his name on the training camp roster, I just thought, okay, well, he hasn't stuck with three different teams now, and so I didn't really expect a whole lot. And then, literally within the first few days, it was eye opening. Just his skill level as a passer and a screener, mostly. We knew he could run and jump. Tremendous athlete, young guy. But he's very sophisticated as a passer and screener, kind of in that top of the key, Andrew Bogut area. You think about where Bogut ran so much of our offense, where we did so much through him. And we've done a lot of that with Marquese in the preseason, and he's been really adept with that. And that's exciting because we like to do that. We like to play through our big men, and we like to have passing big men. So much better passer than I realized, and an exciting young prospect. And for a team like us, it's way over the salary cap. Marquese is the kind of guy we have to take chances on, somebody who's been drafted high, who's still young, who maybe didn't make it in one place, but maybe just needed a change of scenery.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Did you get a new cell phone in the offseason? You sound great.
Really? No, but I moved. So maybe that's it. Better cell coverage.
Yeah, it must be. Just Chase Center. Lacob wired that sucker up for you. You guys got good reception in there. It sounds really, really good. Tell us about D'Angelo Russell's integration into your team, fitting him in on the locker room, fitting him in on the court. What's been easier?
Well, fitting him into the locker room is easy. He's a great guy, great teammate. Everybody enjoys being around him. So that's not an issue. I think, we're still kind of getting a feel for him as a player, and he's getting a feel for us as a team, and he's gotten better and better as we've gone forward in training camp. And we're going to have to just play for the next few weeks and see how everything looks and then adapt from there. But he's proven to be really good next to Steph. Either guy can handle the ball or run off the ball and be effective. And, we've scrimmaged quite a bit over the last week with those two playing together to try to give them as many minutes together as possible. And he looks good, and he's really rounding into form. So we're excited about him, and I think he'll have a great year with us.
Have you noticed the extent to which you are surrounded by reporters less than in past years? And does that help at all? Or does it make no difference whatsoever?
Haven't really noticed much of a difference. There's definitely fewer now just because of the expectations being a little lower. But there's still lots of media around us, and we still have some star players who garner a lot of attention. And it doesn't, it's just something that we're used to, and we don't think one way or the other about it. It just is what it is.
I don't know that you'll answer this, but who's your starting small forward?
Glenn Robinson.
Okay.
He's he'll start Thursday night. He's had a great camp. Some of it, it just has to do with it's an easy fit, and he's been healthy throughout camp. Alec Burks has not been healthy. He finally scrimmaged today for the first time. So it's Glenn is ahead of Alec, and then of course we had to let Alfonso McKinney go, which was a really difficult thing to do, given our appreciation for Zoe and what he brought to our team. But with those moves, the path was really cleared for Glenn, and he's taken advantage of it. He's played very well, and I think he fits in really well with our group.
Let me follow up on that quickly, because you mentioned the loss of Alfonso, and the one thing that I know for a fact that impacts in a negative way is rebounding the basketball, which is something you've talked about throughout preseason. Defense as well. I guess my question to you would be, how does this roster defend at the level you want them to? Because part of the issue is you lost some really good defenders, right?
Right. Right. And to be fair, we haven't had our group out there yet because of the injuries to Looney and Willie Cauley-Stein. And we played the Lakers, who were probably the biggest team in the league, four times. And so our lack of size was really exposed during those games, particularly the first three. The last one, not so much, because they sat most of their big men. But we'll have a better sense with Looney and Willie out there. Looney he should be out there opening night. He scrimmaged today and got through it well. Willie's still a ways away from being out on the floor. But there's no question defense is the biggest concern for our team. And you just look at the difference in the roster from an experience standpoint, from a size and length standpoint on the wings, where we've been the last few years, where we are now. So that's going to be a big challenge. We've got a lot of work ahead of us for sure.
This is going to sound like a really simple question, and it is. What kind of year are you about to have, Steve?
It's going to be a fun year. And I really, I mean that. I think it'll be fun for our fans to watch this young group come together and grow. It'll be very different, that's for sure. The last few years have been amazing. But it's almost like we're just waiting for April, to get to the playoffs. This is totally different. We got a group of young players who are eager to learn, and they don't really know which way is up, and so we're trying to teach them, and the older guys are bringing them along, and it's going to be fun. I'm having a great time. I know the whole coaching staff is really enjoying training camp, and I want our fans to think of it in that regard in terms of the process that's going to unfold here over the next 6-7 months. Just watching a young team grow is really a fun thing.
You used to talk about how what we just went through over the last 5 years is not NBA reality. This is NBA reality. Does it feel like, and I'm not saying that the dynasty is over, but does it feel like, Steve, there has been a clear break in the timeline of the five-year run, and everybody on board knows that and acknowledges it and is coming to work with a totally different bounce in their step these days?
Yeah, I think it took a little bit of time for our vets, particularly Steph and Draymond. Took a couple of weeks of training camp for them to really sort of find their footing. We lost a lot of veteran leadership, and all of a sudden those two guys are thrust into the leadership role and with not nearly as much talent surrounding them. And so, more difficult roles to play on the court and off the court. And really over about the last week, I've sensed that Steph and Draymond are really comfortable and starting to enjoy the process of leading a young group and recognizing what a different challenge this is than what we've faced the last few years.
A couple of questions. One you just mentioned, that you were hoping fans would have fun watching your team. What's the likelihood of that, given what we know about fans?
You want to answer your own question? It sounded sort of rhetorical to me.
Oh, it was rhetorical as hell, but I wanted to see if you'd go for it.
No, I would hope that we can provide a lot of entertainment along with, you know, the enjoyment of the process. I mean, we still have some great players, you know. I mean, Steph Curry is worth the price of admission, as you know. There's hardly been any players in the history of the game who are as entertaining as Steph. And you know, with D'Angelo on board and Draymond and Loon, you know, I think there are going to be nights where we look great and we can beat anybody. And then I think there are going to be nights when shots aren't going in and the defense is not what it was. And those nights are going to be tough. But again, I think it's all kind of part of the theme this year. And I think everybody, you know, we all have to deal with it. Fans, players, coaches. The reality is that we're now much more like most NBA teams, fighting uphill rather than on top of the mountain.
And the other question I have is, do you think the head coach at Maccabi Haifa is using your remarks as bulletin board material this coming season?
I wondered about that. Was that insulting for me to make that comment?
No, but it was great for our show. It gave us content, Steve. Thank you.
Okay, good. Good. You're welcome.
I was really hoping that David Blatt was going to be the head coach of Maccabi Haifa, but no, sadly. The world did not cooperate. So you've talked to us and I think a lot throughout preseason about it's going to take some time to see what you got, to figure out how guys play together, to see what situations are the best for what players. If everything goes well and health more or less cooperates, how far into the season do you feel like you want to be at a point where you're saying, all right, I know exactly what I've got and how to use it now?
It's a good question. You know, I suppose my best reference point would be our first year, my first year coaching, 2014-15, because really since that point, we've kind of known what we had the last four seasons. So that first year, we really didn't know what to expect. We knew we were going to be pretty good, but I think we realized by kind of Christmas, you know, first 2 months or so, we really realized, hey, we got a shot to win the whole thing. So that's probably a decent timeline, you know, 6-8 weeks of play to get a gauge of where we stand with the rest of the league.
Steve, you've seen everything in the world of basketball. Did you ever think anything like this, the situation that happened in China while you were there, would unfold?
Well, that's the irony, is that while I was there, you know, there really wasn't any controversy as far as the NBA is concerned. You know, Pop and I were together and you know, spent almost 3 weeks in China and got a chance to get a good look at the country and felt incredibly welcomed and were just amazed at the passion of the fans there. But we were, you know, we were also aware of what was happening in Hong Kong. And then, you know, when everything sort of exploded 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, with Daryl's tweet, it really caught everybody off guard. You know, it's just, and especially, you know, from Pop and me, you know, having spoken with him about it, like we were just there, you know, it was really a bizarre sort of confluence of international politics and business and social media and activism, and it all sort of came together in one, and it was pretty confusing for everybody as far as, you know, what to say and when to say it, because felt like we were sort of in a tough spot no matter what spot we were in.
We're still getting Red Panda at halftime, though, right?
Is that another rhetorical question?
I hope so, because I swear to God, she's better than at least 10 NBA teams at all times.
Entertainment value is pretty solid.
It is through the roof. Entertainment value of Chase Center. How much is the new building fitting you? Have you fit yourself into it, or can't you know this until we do it for real on Thursday?
Well, we've had, I think, three games there now, and I like the vibe in the building. It seems loud in there. The lighting is great. I've spoken with a lot of fans who are enjoying it. And it's, I think it's going to be a great home court advantage. Obviously, we've got to do our part and win some games and play well. But so far it's been a really good transition. You know, I think the bigger thing is just the life change between, moving across the bay and changing from the Oakland facility to Chase full time. It's a very different life, and we're all getting used to that.
Have you caught yourself staring at the scoreboard longer than you intended to, and you got to get your eyes back on the game now?
No, that has not been an issue for me, but apparently it has been for you.
So, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at a picture of it right. That's a glorious scoreboard.
It is enormous.
You just tell them from the floor, you can barely tell, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm curious. There are 13 NBA games between right now and your game day. What are you excited about watching? A lot of new stuff in the NBA. Anything jump out to you?
I think Lakers-Clippers tonight will be really interesting. Obviously, two teams in our division, and the Lakers are probably further along. We just saw them, and they're going to be really good. But until the Clippers have Paul George back, we won't have a perfect picture of what they are. But the fact that we're playing them Thursday means that tonight's game is the one I'm most interested in, because we can hopefully pick up some things and get a good feel for the team we're playing Thursday night.
In truth, how much do you pick up watching just like one game? I mean, are you expecting new things, given the fact, especially that with the Lakers, you've seen plenty of them. I mean, what is it that you think you can pick up in one game that would materially change what you think about how you want to play against the Clippers?
Well, number one is we're going to see the real rotation. I just watched the Clippers' last exhibition game against Dallas, and they did not play very well. But, Patrick Beverley wasn't out there. Lou Williams wasn't out there. So I don't really know what I'm watching in terms of, what the rotation's going to look like. But tonight's the real thing, and assuming, they're fully healthy, we're going to see exactly what Doc is thinking. And so we'll have a better idea of matchups on Thursday night. And obviously, it's the only time all year where you really sort of, get a free glimpse. The rest of the year, you're watching teams every night, and you kind of know what you're getting, just from being able to scout them beforehand.
How many times a year do you think the Lakers are going to run that JaVale McGee possum play where he pretends that he just sprained his ankle?
Do you remember, Damon, the high school play like maybe 10 years ago where the kid actually barked?
Barking dog.
Yep. The barking dog play. You remember that?
Yes.
I think we should run that.
Presumably Thompson with the bark.
Who on your team would be the best barker? Clearly, it's Draymond.
I'm not quite sure who becomes the best barker, but it's one of the all-time great plays. I also remember another high school play where a kid actually ran along the baseline, and he ran, in the high school gym, the wall is just, 3 feet off the baseline. And they have those big double doors on either side of the court. And the kid literally ran out the doors and then in through the other doors on the other baseline, And so instead of running around a screen, he literally ran out the doors, ran outside, and came back out onto the floor. And, of course, his man lost him completely, and he ended up getting a jumper. I like that one, too. I'm not sure if that one is.
That's not going to work at Chase Center. It'll take you 20 minutes to run around the block, Steve.
Take a while, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We always appreciate your time. Thanks for the first of what will be many conversations this year. And in the last clear, nice thing we're going to say to you all year, Steve, I just want to say, and I'm just speaking for me, I bet you Matt and Ray aren't too far away from these thoughts, but I'm just speaking for me here. I thought your response to Donald Trump's comments about you was eloquent, measured, and poignant, and I'm glad you're on our side.
Thanks, Damon. Appreciate the kind words, and looking forward to chatting with you guys all year.
Even Ray?
No, not Ray, but you know, everybody else.
See, and that's the only defensible thing you've said today.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. See you guys.
Really appreciate it. Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. Great stuff, as always. That's a pretty good hour of radio. Peter King, Steve Kerr, back-to-back, great stuff. And now we get to react for just a moment or two. What'd you think?
I thought that's a man who knows how to curry favor with Ray Ratto. You just insult Ray Ratto to his face, and you've made a lifelong friend.
Respect that.
He's a swine.
No, seriously, that guy.
No, I thought he was more sort of engaged on the China question than he has been. I think probably getting a week away from the furnace helped. And I think his own expectations, he sort of revealed them a little more. I think what he told us is this is going to be a different team every night. And he's never had that before. And I think he's as eager to find out how he deals with that as everybody else is, because his coaching experience has basically been playing with the casino's money. That is no longer true. And it's not only no longer true, I don't know that he feels confident that he knows what he's going to get night in and night out, and he's coming to grips with it.
I think I'd go a step further and say he knows he's not going to get the same thing night in and night out because he doesn't have the level of talent that provides that sort of consistency. So, I mean, that really is usually the difference between really good players and not so good players. I mean, sure, there are guys who have remarkable athletic traits that nobody else can match, but usually it's about consistency. The really, really top-level players can do it every night. A lot of guys in this league can do it one of every two or three nights, but they have a lot more one of every two or three-night guys on this team and a lot fewer every-night guys.
Can you do it on a silent night? What about not-so-silent night, hey, Saturday?
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Not-so-silent night, Saturday, December 7th at SAP Center in San Jose. Mumford & Sons, 21 Pilots, 1975, the Raconteurs of Monsters and Men. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. You can jump on that. We're also inviting you to jump on 888-957-9570 for a little Tuesday trifecta. Are you feeling it? Are you ready? Our Tuesday trifecta topic today is the trade that plays. Yes, the San Francisco 49ers made a trade for Emmanuel Sanders today, and I'm not saying that that's my favorite trade of all time, but I'm asking you what yours is. What is your favorite trade in sports history? Question number one, a trade that played with you. Question number two, if Klay Thompson doesn't play a lick this year, are the Warriors going to the playoffs? 888-957-9570. Tuesday trifecta officially starting next. Two questions. What is your favorite trade? If Klay doesn't play a lick, are the Warriors going to the playoffs? Our third question. It's one of our favorites of the entire year. It's our Halloween candy draft. You say, Damon, wait a minute. Shouldn't this be next Tuesday? That's closer to Halloween. People still need to go out and buy their Halloween candy. You need these ideas now, not after you've already bought the wrong stuff. Halloween candy draft. Once a piece of candy is off the board, it is gone, not to be handed out again. So make sure you get in now and get in early. 888-957-9570. It's officially ready to go. Your Tuesday trifecta, the trade that played. Question number one, what is your favorite trade? Number two, if Klay doesn't play a lick, are the Warriors going to the playoffs? Number three, Halloween candy draft. It's all next, 888-957-9570. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
And suddenly over the loudspeaker, I heard...
Trifecta.
Triple.
Trifecta.
With a triple.
Trifecta.
It's the Tuesday trifecta. One topic, three questions. Here's Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. Time for Ray Ratto's favorite segment of the week because he has to do the least to get through it. Every now and then, Matt Kolsky will chime in. But we're really looking for you to do the heavy lifting, good audience. It is your Tuesday trifecta. Here we officially go, the trade that played, and we've also got a draft of Halloween candy. Get in now while you can. This is Jesse and Milbrae, who's been waiting the longest. We thank you, Jesse. That's why you're front of the line. Really appreciate your patience. I know you waited through a couple interviews there, and you wanted to stick around for the trifecta. You're my kind of listener is what I'm trying to say. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Damon, doing well. How's Ray and Matt doing?
Matt's great. Ray's pissed.
That about all right, well, yeah, let's get cracking with it.
I didn't feel the need to add to that.
Ray?
I'm pissed.
There you go. There it is. What is your favorite trade, Jesse?
All right, my favorite trade of all time, or the one that had the most significant impact in my life, was the Baron Davis coming from the Hornets to the Warriors. That was the first time I ever got excited about basketball in the Bay Area, hopeful for change, you know?
I know that Don Nelson was very happy about it because he finally had, I believe as he said it, one NBA player on his roster. I think he said that once about Baron. If Clay doesn't play a lick, Jesse, are the Warriors in the playoffs?
I hate to say it, but no, we are not in the playoffs. And, you know, I think at best this season is looking at a 500 record. I mean, we're just small all around, and I think defense and rebounding is really going to kill us this year.
You do have the first overall pick in the Halloween candy draft, a pole position if there ever was one. Where are you going?
I can't wait to hear this.
Man, this was really hard.
It's hard.
I got to go with the Hershey's miniatures, man. I used to always get so many of those, and they always have the best flavors of
chocolate.
Hershey's miniatures or... Yeah, that's the thing. You can't take miniatures and get like the whole.
Oh, he doesn't get the variety
family
pack
of crackle and all that.
You got to pick one.
You got to pick one.
The Hershey's with almond miniature.
Hershey's, you know, it's a classic choice, but it's a very solid choice, Jesse. Respect.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Here's the thing. No one's gonna laugh at that pick. It ain't sexy, but if blocking and tackling wins football games, Hershey bars win an awful lot of candy drafts.
Yeah, you're taking a defensive lineman with the first overall pick, but if he's the right defensive lineman, you know.
You just got Bosa.
Maybe.
You just got Bosa.
Maybe.
Mike in San Pablo. Mike, thank you very much. You're next up. What's your favorite trade?
Gentlemen, I was going to go with a Matt Williams trade. It was my favorite. It shows that the front of the jersey is more important than the back, but I want to go with the Andrew Bogut Monte Ellis trade because it was the biggest piece of the building blocks that they had to get to the final spot where they needed to go.
It was the beginning of the beginning, that's for sure. If Clay doesn't play a lick, are they a playoff team?
Yes.
In.
Yeah.
I like the unexplained confidence. Thank you very much. Second pick in the Halloween candy draft, Mike. What are you taking?
I'm going to hit it out of the hind with this pick, and I'm going to say Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Reese's.
Joke's on you.
Reese's Cup. Love them.
Overrated.
No, oh, I totally disagree. Solid.
It's the Ryan Leaf of the candy draft.
No, you're crazy.
This is my hottest candy take.
It's not like this candy is burnt out and flamed out of the candy universe. I see commercials every night. This is a popular pick.
Yeah, a lot of people thought Ryan Leaf was the guy.
I will say, so I did too. I lobbied so hard for Ryan Leaf. I was in college in Indiana telling every Colts fan that they just made a big mistake with that Peyton Manning guy.
Luckily, you were out of there soon. You never have to see them again.
Here's the thing about the Reese's Cup. I don't associate it with Halloween. It's a 365 candy to me.
Fair, but it can definitely go in the Halloween bag and
100%.
Therefore eligible.
Yes, it is.
See, I would do really well. I'd be a great value drafter in the candy draft because there's a few candies like that that the world loves that I could miss me.
You do have very odd mid-show snacking habits. I will say this. Ray drinks Snapples like they were lines of cocaine. I don't eat or drink really anything but coffee or water through the show. Matt is constantly grazing on usually off-brand Korean or Japanese snacks.
Love off-brand Asian snacks, generally speaking. They're crunchy and delicious, usually.
A lot of shrimp toast over there.
Sure. I mix in some Chex Mix here and there, you know, the classics.
What if I told you that Gerrit Cole just gave up a home run?
Oh,
Ryan Zimmerman. Unfortunately, though, Max Scherzer gave up a bomb before him. Our World Series is underway, and Houston leads 2-1. This game's in the top of the second.
Exciting stuff already.
They brought back the nuclear-powered balls. That's it. Every game's going to be 13-11, and they'll get through 9 innings in 5 hours and 3 minutes.
Yeah. Here we go.
Play all night.
Oh, he knew right away,
Juice too. Ball's back. Oh, look at that. Cole's got that. Get me out of here. I need to pitch in his pitcher's park. Send me to San Francisco. Look all over. By the way, Zimmerman, he hit that home run off of Austin, Texas. Like, that thing was crushed.
Well struck.
Yeah.
This is Sammy in San Jose. Thank you very much, Sammy, for the phone call. What is your favorite trade?
It's actually Jeremy.
Oh, Jeremy. Thank you very much. What's your
favorite
trade?
We'll tell you what your name is.
Hold on. I have something for this.
I'll say just a couple of years ago, the trade to bring Jimmy Garoppolo here to San Francisco.
Hey, it's
not
working.
Bad.
It's got you 6-0 this year, or at least he's along for the ride, according to some analysts. If Clay doesn't play a lick, are the Warriors going to the playoffs?
I still say yes, but maybe a lower seed.
You have the third pick in the Halloween candy draft. Hershey's with almonds minis and Reese's peanut butter cups are gone.
Let's do mini Butterfingers.
Butterfinger it is. I like that. Thank you very much. And I will say, this might not be a popular position to take. I've always said a little Butterfinger goes a long way. It's the rare candy that I enjoy, but I would rather have the mini than the full bar of.
Couldn't agree more. I think that is a perfect take.
It's a less is more candy bar.
It absolutely is. There's not a lot of candy like that, but Butterfinger, the one fun size, easy for me to say, is good enough.
How do you feel about the Butterfinger, Ray?
Not a fan.
Alan, San Francisco. Alan, favorite trade?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My favorite trade has to be Joe Thornton to the Sharks for Brad Stewart way back when.
If Clay doesn't play a lick, are they dancing in the postseason?
I'm going to have to say that's a negative. I had them before the season started thinking that Clay was coming back to be like maybe a 6 or 7 seed. But with the interior, with the bigs not going down all the time, I don't think we have a shot at the 8 seed.
Fourth pick in the candy draft for Halloween. Where are you going?
I've got a very, very underrated chocolate bar. It's called the Whatchamacallit.
Oh, classic. I love a Whatchamacallit.
I know, right?
You know what,
caramel
though?
Chocolate and Rice Krispies.
Here's the thing, Alan. You could have got the Whatchamacallit in like the third round.
You could have come back to the next day's draft
exactly.
For the Whatchamacallit. But when you see a player
there's never
a wrong time to draft them.
That's true. The value is fine for me. I'm just saying you probably could have gotten better value, but it's a great candy.
The Butterfinger is the 5'8" running back to the candy draft.
That's an excellent text.
Phenomenal. Cheers. Someone's betting that Ray's favorite Halloween candy is the Heath bar. Ray, where do you stand on the Heath bar?
Not a fan.
A marriage of toffee and chocolate?
See, I feel like Ray is going to be like a just give me a pure chocolate Santa. Just straight up chocolate.
Unfiltered Parliaments.
Oh, that's
nice.
Good, too. Makes a good
Not for me, for the kids, give the children.
Yeah, pack of red apples for the kids.
Believe me, we all understood who you wanted to give the Parliaments to. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Chris.
You got to learn somewhere.
Chris, San Leandro, and by the way, Nash, no new calls. I think we're good on our dance card for the night. We want to get everybody in. This is Chris in San Leandro. What's your favorite trade?
It's not a sexy trade, but I can't believe we got rid of Beadrins and Richard Jefferson to the Jazz. I was so juiced after that.
If Clay doesn't play a lick, are the Warriors in the playoffs?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Fifth overall pick in the Halloween candy draft. A quick review. Hershey's Almond Minis, Peanut Butter Cups, Butterfingers goes third overall, followed by the Whatchamacallit.
Man, the Kit Kat is the GOAT. I got to go with the Kit Kat.
I got to tell you, we were talking about this before the show today. And with the number one overall pick in our mock Halloween candy draft, we did have Kit Kat going number one overall. Bravo to you, sir. Incredible value there. I'm very, very happy for you.
Great work.
What a pick.
Great work.
You're the Packers with Aaron Rodgers falling in your lap.
And I just want to say thank you to everyone who texted what they think Ray's favorite candy is.
What is it?
It's just like 30 of them.
Oh, there is an awful lot.
Ray's a butterscotch guy. Ray Ratto's favorite candy bar is probably you'll get nothing and like it.
Ray Ratto's favorite candy is corn dogs.
Ray's a Necco wafer kind of guy. That's a good one. Necco wafers, Ray?
I hate every one of you.
What about black licorice that you're choking on? Would you like black licorice choking
awful.
On? All right. This is Matt in Pittsburgh.
Tastes like spackle.
It's not good. Matt, thank you very much for the call. What's your favorite trade?
I got to say it has to be Marshawn Lynch coming to the Raiders, contemplating retirement back when he was with the Seahawks.
That wasn't a trade, though. That was just a signing.
Yeah, it was.
Did they trade? Who'd they trade for Marshawn? They didn't trade for Marshawn, did they?
It may have nominally been a trade.
Yeah, I thought he retired and then he came back.
Yeah, but I think
they had to
trade
provide
him
compensation.
Because, yeah.
Okay.
But I think it was like a seventh rounder or something.
Thank you very much. Matt, I'm so sorry. You know more than I do about that. Cheers to you. Clay doesn't play a lick. What do you think? Are they a playoff team?
I think they do. I think they just win enough to grab that eighth seed.
Halloween candy draft, sixth overall.
I got to go with the Babe Ruth. It's one of my favorites, man.
The Babe Ruth.
The Babe Ruth's pretty good.
I do like the Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth.
Isn't it the payday, though, is like a Babe Ruth with the chocolate, right? Or is it the other way around?
No, a payday
is no chocolate.
It's got no chocolate on
it.
It's all salty.
Then Babe Ruth is the right one. I just wanted to make sure we were headed the right direction.
I almost said it's all salty nuts. But I stopped myself because saying salty nuts isn't something you just say into a microphone.
You didn't stop yourself. You said it twice.
Salty nuts. Bam Bam, San Mateo. Bam Bam, thanks so much for the call. What's your favorite trade?
Favorite trade of all time has to be Steve Young, 1987. For the second and fourth round picks.
Not bad. By the way, that's what I had written down. If you're in the Bay Area, how did that not work out like gangbusters? Not only did you get Steve Young, but he pushed Montana to be better at the very end, too. I thought it was great. We're coming and going. If Clay doesn't play, are the Warriors in the playoffs?
Yes, and they'll grab the seventh seed.
You're grabbing the seventh pick in the candy draft, too. What do you got?
I'm going to go with peanut M&Ms.
Peanut M&Ms.
That's another classic.
It never not works.
Correct.
Right? I don't know if it's anyone's favorite, but it's not on anybody's list of I don't want it unless you got a peanut allergy.
That's my favorite.
The peanut M&M?
Oh, yeah.
To go to?
Mm-hmm. I have to have at least a bag a week or more, for sure.
My wife's like that.
In your M&M world that you live in, even though there is no discernible taste difference between any of the colors, do you have a favorite color M&M?
Yellow and green.
Really?
That's an A's answer. She's an A's fan. Down to the
Sprinkle
socks.
A little red in there, get a little Rasta vibe, you know.
Thank you very
much. Jamaican flag colors.
This is the closest thing I got to a Rasta vibe. First name Stephen, last name Curry. He came into my life. Now everything. I got to work on the Rasta vibes on the soundboard. This is Jacob in Tiburon, our final call of the day. Jacob, what is your favorite trade?
Favorite trades going old school, which is Keith Hernandez to the Mets.
Ah, I'm Keith Hernandez. Thank you very much. If Clay doesn't play a lick, are the Warriors in the playoffs?
Absolutely. They're a 6 or 7 seed, and they're going to be the most dangerous 6 or 7 seed you'll face.
Halloween candy draft. You have the 8th and final pick, Jacob. What are you doing?
Well, I got to run to the defense of the Reese's Cup, but Crackle is my choice.
Crackle's good, and you don't have to run to the defense of the Reese's Cup. Everybody defends the Reese's Cup. I'm literally the only guy on Reese's Cups Aren't That Good Island. The only guy.
No, you're not.
My wife lives on that island.
Really?
Yes,
all right.
She does.
Great minds think alike,
yeah.
I've always said.
There are three things that my wife doesn't like that I just don't understand. She doesn't like chocolate and peanut butter married together.
That's weird.
She doesn't like coffee.
That's a little weird.
She doesn't like bacon.
Divorce her.
You know, the bacon thing.
No, I'm not kidding.
It's great strategy, Ray,
you get
because
all the
now
bacon.
I get all the bacon.
Yeah, that's fine. And as much as
is that a good idea, given your health history?
She keeps on giving me the bacon.
She's a genius. I want to apologize publicly. I will do so privately. No, that's brilliant. As a slow motion way to get to the money, that's brilliant.
A couple quick candy issues.
Crackle goes hard, yo.
Crackle does go hard, yo. I'm with that. Two bars I can't believe didn't make it, 100 grand and Twix.
The Snickers didn't happen.
Also, the Snickers should be on there, even though it's not my personal favorite. It's great. It should be on there. But also, several texters have pointed out virtually no fruit candy. No Sour Patch Kids.
No gummies of any kind.
No gummies. None of that. All chocolate today.
You know what I love? I love a 4-pack of Now and Laters.
Not bad. I'm like a sour gummy. If you really want the good sour candy, Sour Sketty from Haribo. That's my real jam. The other one, I want to throw my favorite trade at you. And I think it's a solid argument for greatest trade of all time. Will Perdue and cash for Dennis Rodman.
Solid. Solid. That works.
The cash really put it over the top.
Yeah. Must have been a significant amount of cash.
Should have been a lot of cash.
Ray, favorite candy?
I already answered that.
You did?
I wasn't paying close attention.
Unfiltered Parliaments.
Oh, okay. No, seriously, though.
Oh. Probably a Three Musketeers.
Wow. Yeah. You ever do frozen Three Musketeers?
No. Why would you do that? That's it. They're perfect as is. They're just fine.
Do you like Charleston shoes?
No.
I love a Charleston shoe.
Having not been 9 years old for a number of years, I don't do a lot of candy.
Well, you look like you have a runner's body. I got to be honest with
you. Oh, that's solid lard. That's not a sugar thing. The bacon your wife won't eat, I've already had.
What is your favorite trade?
I have two. One is the Bill Russell trade from St. Louis to Boston because St. Louis didn't think it could sell a black player to its fan base.
Well, they might not.
So they sent him to Boston where he only won 11 championships in 13 years.
Well, and then they also sold their team, which is to say it ain't working here.
Yeah, they just moved it and then they sold it later. They moved it to Atlanta.
The Spirit?
Broadcasting rights
in
perpetuity.
No. The St. Louis
Hawks. ABA. The
Hawks
of St. Louis. Yeah. Okay.
The other one is the John Elway trade from Indianapolis to Denver because it was a player taking control of rights that he didn't have so that he didn't have to play with a raging alcoholic on a bad team.
Is he the first player to demand a trade like that successfully without ever playing?
I think so. I'd have to look it up, but I cannot think of another one.
Yeah.
He basically said, I'm not playing for Bob Irsay.
Hey,
I refuse.
It's officially,
and he won.
Officially time for us to boogie. We want to say thanks to Jason Locke and Fora, Peter King and Steve Kerr for joining us today. We do want to end on this note. Rest in peace to Pro Football Hall of Famer, former Raider Willie Brown, who passed away at the age of 78. One of the single most famous highlights and camera zoomed in. A highlight that he had from Super Bowl XI, a 75-yard touchdown, an interception of Fran Tarkenton, all 70s, first-team All-Pro in the NFL twice, all AFL three times, a Hall of Famer, a great, great Raider. Rest in peace to one of the best, Willie Brown, passing away at the age of 78. That's how we wrap it up. Ray, Matt, thank you. Nash, awesome stuff filling in for Albie. Thank you, Elena. Merci beaucoup. C'est bon. Sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
I hate you.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.